Hello, Dora darling. It's great to be able to talk to you like this and to show you that I'm really as well and fit as I tell you in my letters. Hope you too are keeping well, darling, and hope to be with you very soon. And then we will make up for all the time that's been lost.
We found the Colleen Blighty films in the town hall in 1984, and there were about 23 films showing these men sending their messages home from the Far East. So they were stationed in Burma and India and Malaya, and they hadn't been home, some of them, for as long as 6 years. So some of the messages are, you know, you haven't seen me for years, and they hadn't seen their children, and they didn't know that their parents had died. The communication with home was intermittent and patchy, and that was one of the reasons that the films were made, to improve communication and improve morale. So try and get the mail coming through so that they'd know what was happening at home.
Just explain how these worked. Were the men actually filmed doing these messages?
They were stationed abroad, so home leave was impossible. It was too long a journey. They couldn't come home, so they would be sent to camps and recreation grounds, and they would play ping pong and swim, and they say, "I'm having a lovely holiday here in Bombay," and they were seeing the sights. So they would be got together by the army welfare officer in groups of men from the same towns and places. So they would film. The films are typically about 12 minutes long and have anything from 15 to 30 men sending their messages. So they would just come one by one in front of the camera and say a few words.
And I can imagine, even though you didn't know these men, just watching their messages and seeing the looks on their faces and some of the things that they were saying, it must have been emotional even for you to watch.
Absolutely lump in the throat every time I see some of them. Some of them are absolutely hilarious. Others are very poignant, but they're all very spirited. They're trying to be cheerful, keep smiling, darling, I'll be home soon. Those sorts of messages. And miss your cooking, Mum. You know, some quite cheeky ones.
And was that evidence when you could see the men that they'd not had that good home food, that actually, you know, conditions were tough where they were?
They certainly were. It was a rough deal out there, and they were there for a lot longer. The war in Europe was over in 1945. The Japanese surrendered in August 1945, and some of these men were still there way into 1946. They didn't get home because they had to deal with the situation there. So you could see that, you know, they would say they were losing weight and so on. And one story was that they turned up, their uniforms were in such tatters that they were given new uniforms for the filming. Then they had to give them back.
How extraordinary. Well, as we say, Tommy got to see Vincent. And what was it like for you, Tommy, seeing images of Vincent after all this time?
Well, I was absolutely gobsmacked, because I remember being at the original viewing. That was in 1944. And I saw this with my family at the Regal on Oxford Road. I was a 13-year-old boy then, and of course very moved by seeing my brother-in-law, Vincent Jefferson, sending his messages. And I often pass it's the Dance Academy now, and I just think, oh, I wonder what ever happened to that film. And then lo and behold, I saw it was on the TV, the advertiser on the TV, and he immediately got into touch with Northwest Film Archive, and the person then said, "Well, do you know, Tommy, we've got your brother-in-law," and I couldn't believe it. And then they invited me and Vincent's niece, Pat Wilkinson, down to the new library to watch it, and I'm actually filling up now, because it was exactly when I saw that boy, you know, after all those years, it was most moving. And I think Northwest Films gave me a copy of it, and I shown it my nieces and nephews that had never seen their Uncle Vincent. And I wasn't certain, how would they react? It's so long, 70 years ago, not interested. By God, that isn't the case. Every one of them so moved by seeing it, you know, and that's the effect it's had, certainly on me, but on my family. It was wonderful, wonderful to see that boy.
Was it as much the message as the fact that you were seeing him?
I think the fact that I was seeing him certainly as a child and as the family. Yes, the message was there to my sister and his wife, darling Dora, he kept referring to us. But it was just looking at the fella. And, and he'd gone away in 1940, and he returned home in 1946, and he spent all that time in the Far East. And, Manny was just saying there about the conditions. That poor fella, he came home, he went back to work, and he wasn't really well. And in actual fact, in 1953, that's only 7 years after he came out, he died. And he always said it was due to the conditions that he suffered while he was out there, you know. And the boy was only 37 when he died, you know, and oh, God. But, yeah, never, as I said, to repeat myself, did I think I'd see that film again. And I thought about it years, you know, looking at it.
Can you remember the reaction of the family when you were in the cinema watching that?
No, in all honesty, I can't. I mean, my parents were there, and Vincent's parents were there, and other relatives, and I'm sure they were very moved by it all, but I don't recollect. All I know was the excitement I felt as a 13-year-old boy to see my brother-in-law in uniform. I was so proud of him, really. That's the thoughts I remember of the day. And I think it was a Sunday that we went down to the Regal to see it, you know, and then.
And what was it he said? What picture did he paint?
Well, he said, good to speak, darling Dora. Can't say to my sister, darling Dora, miss you very much. Hello to Mum and Dad, Mrs. Walsh, which was my parents, and I look forward to the day when I come home and we're going to have a big party. And it was so uplifting to hear this messages from him and from the other people that were on there, that the spirit was tremendous. There was no sort of, I've had enough of this, I don't want to get, there was none of that. They really booked up the people that were viewing it, you know, the such spirit of these people.
And Marion, it must make it all worthwhile when you hear people like Tommy reacting that way.
Absolutely. There's nothing like film, moving image, to really bring this to life and the stories that people have. So we're just really thrilled. It's been a collection that has been waiting its time. And we were lucky enough to find lists of all the names and addresses of the people who were invited to see the films. So what we've done now is put all of those into a database with the clips, and now people can go online and search for their own family names.
Okay, just give us the details behind that.
Our website is nwfa.mmu.ac.uk. There's a link there to a message home, because what we're hoping to do later in the year is get together all the people that we find who found a relative in the films or remember going to see them, and invite them to a screening at home, which is the new cinema theatre complex.
And we're going to do a bit of digging around, because even though you didn't find any Trows, you did find a couple of Butterworths.
A couple of Butterworths, yes. That was lucky. There are... Mostly you just find one name when you hit. Obviously, you know, there are more Smiths and some of the more common names. But if you have an unusual name, then you'll hit it straight away. But there are... These films are quite rare survivors, so a lot of people won't find anybody, but they can enjoy watching the other clips.
Hello, Mum and Dad, Mr. and Mrs. Walsh. Hope you're all keeping well, looking after yourselves, and I hope we'll be having that family reunion very shortly. Well, I must say cheerio for now. Cheerio, Mum. Cheerio, darling.